So let everybody know what's going on. The warmth in the room is contributing to overheating the projector. So we've been trying to make it last while it can. So we're bringing on Uncle Dave. While he comes up, I'll read a little bio. He's been an ARSC member from 1999. He has presented at several ARSC conferences since his first talk given in Santa Barbara in 2001 on the subject of obscure band leader Harry Spindler. Lewis began his underground record label, Hospital Records, out of Cincinnati in the 1980s, and has a long presence on public radio and appearing in years-long programs, WAIF Cincinnati and WCBN Ann Arbor. Take it away. You ready for me?
So let's have our first audio track, please. And this is the thing that Chuck was referring to. Listen to this. Mike Beale would love this if he were here. First audio track. Well, no, he's got it. The sound
WLW, the high fidelity transmitter of the Crosley Corporation, Cincinnati.
Welcome to you one and all to another big Boone County Jamboree at Dick's Open House.
Before we begin, I'd like to thank Sammy Jones, Dick Spotswood, Sandy Rodriguez, and Chuck Haddocks of the Miller Nichols Library of the University of Missouri in Kansas City, Whistling Willies, Laura Schnichter, Mike Henry, and Chuck Howell of the University of Maryland Libraries, Martin Fisher of the Middle Tennessee State University, Lee Hay and Mike Martini of WVXU in Cincinnati, Tom Reeder and Lisa Wood of the Ohio History Center and the Hutchins Library of Berea College. Thank you all for your help. Next slide, please. Oh, I don't have to do that. It's right here. This talk was inspired by a disc that I found at Whistling Willie's here in Pittsburgh just about a year ago. This disc is on the Baker Records label and was made in 1953. Next audio, please. Naturally, I was curious as to just who Cowboy Phil and the Golden West Girls, not to be confused with the Girls of the Golden West, were. Turns out that they were entertainers on the WWVA Wheeling, West Virginia Jamboree, a country music radio show that began in 1933 and still operates today. Despite living most of my life in the Ohio Valley, I'd never heard of the Wheeling Jamboree. It made me wonder to what extent rural radio played a role in the entertainment industry in my neck of the woods, being the states bordering the Ohio Valley. And I also wanted to know just what was out there in terms of that radio. The WLS National Barn Dance, WSM Grand Ole Opry, and KWKH Louisiana Hayride programs are, in posterity, the big players in the historical rural radio. The National Barn Dance, based in Chicago from 1924 to 1960, and originally sponsored by Sears Roebuck, is credited with ushering in the barn dance genre on radio. The Grand Ole Opry in Nashville followed in 1925, and it's still a going concern, though it's evolved into a vast commercial entertainment complex, very different from what it started out as. The Louisiana Hayride, founded in 1948 and shut down in 1960, is still fondly remembered as the launch pad for Hank Williams, Elvis Presley, and Johnny Cash. And we should not forget the Hometown Jamboree in Pasadena, hosted by Cliffy Stone, which brought us Johnny Horton, Jim Reeves, and Tennessee Ford. These shows were not the only ones on their kind of their kind on the dial, however. Throughout America, from the 1920s into the 1970s, there were numerous rural radio programs at the regional or local level, many of which the title contained the words jamboree, hayride, or barn dance in some configuration. About 30 of these programs aired in the Ohio Valley states in this period. Once the popularity of a program grew to the extent that it needed to permit a live audience of some size, it might elect to move into a local theater or to have an actual barn built to house the barn dance. Sometimes the program would go through a succession of already standing theaters, and at present, the Opry uses two facilities, its old Ryman Auditorium, where it's been since 1945, and then the Grand Ole Opry in a building built specially for it. Okay. Most of these jamboree programs were heard on weekend evenings in the spring and summer months, though regular country music shows by individual groups or single performers were often aired early in the morning, around 5 a.m., owing to the perception that most of the farming audience were listening at that time. And I'm so glad German Wikipedia put this up. I thought I would have to make this, but there it is. Once a pop, geographically, the strongest concentrations of these jamborees were in Missouri, California, Texas, and in states bordering the Ohio River. Of the Midwestern states bordering the Ohio, the state of, Ohio hosted the highest number of known jamborees, presenting more than a third of all such programs in the region, dating from the 1930s to the 1970s. The Renfro Valley Barn Dance existed in two states, starting out at WLW in Cincinnati, and then moving in 1939 to outside Mount Vernon, Kentucky, where it established a whole working community to a barn built especially to house that radio program. Cleveland boasted the Barn Dance Jamboree on WLW. Southwest of Columbus, Lancaster's WHOK, which is now WLOH, hosted the Hocking Valley Barn Dance. Toledo's WTOD had the Maumee Valley Jamboree, whereas Middletown, which is located between Cincinnati and Dayton, had the WPFB Jamboree. Cincinnati hosted a number of these programs. The Renfro Valley Barn Dance scene here began at WLW, which also hosted Plantation Parney and the Boone County Jamboree and its successor, Midwestern Hayride. The Sohio Hayride aired in three cities on three different outlets, WLW, WTAM in Cleveland, and WSPD in Toledo. Sometimes bits and pieces of these programs turn up on home recording discs. Here is an excerpt of a WJW Jamboree from Cleveland from 1945 that was found on a True Cut blank. Next audio, please.
Imitations together, and he calls this the Barnyard Blues with the aid of the harmonica and other imitations that you're going to hear. So let's hear it right now.
Don't know the performer, but there's a similar, I found a similar segment on a WLS that's also a fragment of that kind. It might be a fella named Bashful Harmonica Joe. Okay, not to be outdone, the state of Indiana held the next highest concentration of radio jamborees, the most prominent of which was a Hoosier Hop in Fort Wayne on WOWO, or Wow Wow. The Hoosier Hop began in 1932 and was carried on the NBC Blue Network in the early 1940s. After the war, the show moved to a 5,000-seat amphitheater designed for it at Buck Lake Ranch, which incorporated an amusement park. Indianapolis hosted both the Indiana Hoedown on WFBM and the WIBC Jamboree. WIBC also hosted the Brown County Jamboree, which was held in a barn located in Bean Blossom, Indiana. In 1967, the property around the barn was bought by Bill Monroe, who established the Bean Blossom Festival there. And it's the two festivals actually operated simultaneously for about 15 years. And the Monroe family member that still owns the property says, anyone who wants to come back and start the Brown County Jamboree again, I'll build a barn for them. Okay. Kentucky is a major source of talent in this music. Carlisle Brothers hosted the Carlisle Family Barn Dance on WLAP in Lexington from 1930. It later moved to WHAS in Louisville. WHAS introduced Merle Travis to listeners in the 1930s, and they did not have a full-scale jamboree, however, until the Old Kentucky Barn Dance debuted in 1948. The WGRC Hilltop Jamboree also was based in Louisville. And WCKY, which is in Kentucky, in Covington, Kentucky, which is just south of Cincinnati, had the WCKY Jamboree and the Liberty Theater Barn Dance. Pennsylvania, where we are, was home to the Allegheny Mountain Jamboree on WFRM in Coudersport. The original Warren County Jamboree was on WRRN in Warren, the Pine Hollow Jamboree on WPIC in Sharon, and finally the WAMO Hometown Jamboree right here in Pittsburgh. Just on the edge of the survey area is Shorty Long's Santa Fe Ranch, which was located just outside Redding and was heard over WEEU. Long's operation was capable of attracting top talent and yet was in itself an inexpensive small-time operation, which proves to you that you could do a barn dance, jamboree, or hayride on radio and still maintain it on the cheap. Well, maybe not this cheap, but this does kind of represent the current state of the barn dance today. Back in the day, these various dances, hayrides, and jamborees were capable of attracting thousands of people. Sometimes the popularity of a show would periodically outgrow the facility it was given in. The local impact of some shows were of such importance to the communities in which they were located that today some maintain museums to them. There is a museum in Wheeling to commemorate the WWVA Jamboree and another on the grounds of Bean Blossom, which harkens back to the Brown County. So you would think that there would be more oral evidence of these programs and that they would be abundant, but that's not the case. I want to move this along a little. WLW was one place that would tend to build touring shows out of their radio performers, and in fact had contractual restrictions which kept them from performing outside of the network's purview. And Grandpa Jones remembered that when he did these tours, he would go out and play a gig and have to go back to the station and not get back until 3 or 3:30 in the morning. He would go sleep in the hallway and then get up at 5 an hour later and do a program at 5 a.m. Their touring vehicle was something like one of these. I haven't found a picture of a Crosley bus, but it was apparently a Crosley bus broke down all the time and was anything but comfortable as a conveyance. There were performers that ran the circuit of these various programs, going from one to another. One of the most important ones is standing on the left, Bradley Kincaid, who had a significant connection with Jeanette and ARC and other record labels in the late 20s, early 30s. But unfortunately, his commercial output cuts off in 1934. And I have yet to find a single radio recording of Bradley Kincaid doing anything. And it's funny because he was pretty much everywhere in this circuit. One group that was incredibly popular on rural radio in the 1930s were the Hoosier Hotshots, who got their start at Wow Wow. They started out in the 1920s as Ezra Buzzington's Rustic Revelers, a root band that had a couple of horns, but they got rid of the horn players and became what they were. Let's see, I skipped a little bit of copy, but let's go ahead and hear that sample from them.
There is a wonderful light in her eyes, the kind of light that means just love, the kind of love that brings great harmony. I cry, it's just a glimpse of heaven when my baby smiles at me.
All right, let's go, boys.
Yeah, go to the head of the class, Hoosier Hotshots. You boys certainly know your cadenzas.
Oh, thank you.
One performer who appeared on most of these programs in the Midwest is this fellow, Louis Marshall Grandpa Jones. band that played the Lum and Abner show. And let's hear that next bit of audio. This is from 1933 in Cleveland.
Old fool, that's a fine rate string band over there playing. And all right, Cap, turn the boys loose. Let them go. Quiet, taking up a lot of time with that hand flapping.
Say, Rob, look down there on the second row. There sits him, Swiss Yoder.
Well, I'll swear to goodness, I didn't know he was here. Let's make him get up here on the platform.
Why, sure, they tried to slip in, not let us see him. Make him come up
here. All right, boys, get on up here.
I was amazed to actually find his voice in that little 20-second clip, and that's basically all that you can tell that he's on. But he didn't actually record commercially until 1943. We're going to have to race through these things. I have a lovely clip of Cousin Emmy, who was a performer, very, very important in the region, whose only commercial recording is this album set, at least in the 78 era. And she performed along with Grandpa Jones on a radio show called The Old Country Barn Dance in Charleston, West Virginia. That's Merle Travis and Grandpa Jones standing outside WLW in 1943. And they were both on that touring show that I mentioned. This is an example of a rare rural radio program from the Midwest on a commercial old-time radio site. And I did have a sample of this, and all I can tell you is that it's so terrible, at one point the tape turns and plays around backwards. So there's very little country music to be found among the old-time radio benders, and some of what you find is not even worth paying $5 for an MP3 CD. There is the cast of the Midwestern Hayride, George says that we were out of time a while ago. Can we show one of my video clips? This will give you, I should explain that the reason that all this stuff went off the air was pressure from performance rights organizations is what killed it. They never liked rural radio because they couldn't collect from that. Once television went in, it was easier to deal with. If you had a television set in the 50s and watched these kind of shows, you might have seen something like this. From Cincinnati, October 8th, 1955.